Oh, baby, how do you know? All I need is my buddy. I say I'm gonna get high.
Legendary women's basketball coach Sue Semeraal will be with us in the second hour. She recently was named among FSU Athletics Hall of Fame inductees. That'll all happen in September. Meanwhile, we're going to take a look back at some of the remarkable conversations we've had with this woman. And then in the first hour, Bill Lixon will talk about the North Florida Innovation Labs, the massive economic impact this will bring to the region and to the world at large. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 75 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
We are now in the fourth week of our annual Tallahassee Prepared campaign. Recall, if you will, that we have made it our business over these last 10 years, actually, to keep us all better prepared with useful information that we have neatly, nicely stored for you. TallahasseePrepared.com is the place to go. Glad to say that we've been so fortunate to have people like Tony Kelly Heating and Air, Widen Glass, Sellers here in Tallahassee. Over the years, they have helped us, along with a number of other companies, Plylocks, and it's been a very successful campaign, and we get a lot of great feedback from those of you who visit the website or have benefited from some of the helpful information you'll find. And of course, all of this is designed to remind us that staying prepared is an attitude, certainly not simply a season. And with that, I would encourage you to check it out. Find for yourself those resources that you need to stay prepared for severe weather. Let's take note of the fact that here we are now approaching the, I guess we're in the middle of July, and we've already had several severe thunderstorms come rolling through. Likely that will continue, given the way weather goes in this town through the summer. So what are you doing? You know, I mean, if your household is fortunate enough to have portable generator there as a standby, that's a great resource, but a lot of folks don't. I mean, and it's a cost. And so in that situation, we've got to do a little more creative thinking as to how we go about providing a sufficient support, if especially you have young ones in the house, or if you have those who are elderly, and of course especially those who need to be supported by some sort of medical device, right? So with all of that in mind, TallahasseePrepared.com brings us this compilation, all of this gathered together in one convenient location for you. And you'll find links to other resources, Leon County, emergency management, state, city, all of those resources that provide you additional info even from NOAA and some of those local bureaus that keep track of the current conditions. So you find us on Facebook as well, and LinkedIn. It's also available in Twitter, unless, of course, Twitter's gotten kind of weird lately, hasn't it? But there are resources via social media for you, and I think for that purpose, the Facebook page is useful, and they often will have posted there for you weather alerts that come up, which a lot of times you're going to get on your phone, but we like to make sure that those who are followers of the page, there's also a severe stay prepared group, a Facebook group, so you can join that group and be better informed. That's the key here, isn't it? It's about being informed, being made aware, and my goodness, not that we don't have a lot to keep track of already, but it can sneak up on us pretty quickly. And pretty much, if you don't have something that you've already put in place, certainly a plan that includes something like an agreed-upon meeting space, where if you are not able to get home or if you have to evacuate suddenly, I mean, does your family know where to meet up? Is that already been agreed upon? How will you communicate with one another? You know, you're in a spot where you don't have electrical power, your phone doesn't have backup, and now your phone is dead. Yeah, so you have to think about those things that you think are unlikely, anticipate the unanticipated, so to speak, and expect the unexpected. That's the notion there. So all of that to say, we're pleased to be able to bring you Tallahassee Prepared, courtesy of our sponsors for 2023-2024. It runs through the entire year, 365-247, because that's kind of how it rolls in this town and around the region when it comes to severe weather. Elsewhere in the news, I've got a couple of notifications for you. Leon County now accepting applications for grant money, and this is by way of Leon County Tourism, Division of Tourism, also known as Visit Tallahassee. Well, they have a grant application process for 23-24, which effectively would provide you the funding you might need for signature events or an emerging event, specials and sports. Applications are due by Friday, July 28th. The opportunity represents the ongoing effort to promote tourism and provide financial support for events that have a history of or show potential to attract out-of-town visitors. So if you've got something in mind and you want to propose that your event would be eligible, well, that's what you do. You want to get your application in before or by Friday the 28th. That's just coming up real quick here. Now, in order to be eligible, the event has to occur between October 1 of this year and September 30th of next year, okay? You're also required to comply with Section 125.0104 Florida statutes for the utilization of tourist development tax funds. So there's some rules of the road here that you got to pay attention to. Best thing I can tell you is to attend either one of the workshops they have coming up. And looks like there's one coming up on the 19th of July. These are virtual workshops. And if you want to check it out online, the best way to do that, have they given us that? Yes. You know, you go to Visit Tallahassee's website. That's what you do. All right. So Visit Tallahassee's website. Probably the easiest thing there for you is just to search Visit Tallahassee. And in doing so, you're going to have all the information you need to submit your application. Again, coming up due at the end of this month. Other news from the county, Travis Tritt, Kenny Wayne Shepherd Band to perform at the Adderley Amphitheater, Cascades Park. That's coming up pretty quick here, if I'm not mistaken. So it's scheduled for Friday, October 13th. Tickets are going to go on sale, actually went on sale yesterday, July 14th. 30 years after launching his music career, Travis Tritt continues to sell out shows. So that's expected to happen here. Doors will open at 6. Ticket prices are $40 for general admission, $60 for reserved seating in the P2 section, $80 for reserved seating in the P1 section. Okay, so check it out. The AdderleyAmphitheater.com is the place to go and get your tickets before they're all gone. Stay with me, folks. We've got Bill Lookson standing by. Many of us are just now beginning to sort of tune into, warm up to, and better understand than what North Florida Innovation Labs, and I need to say that at least 10 times in this portion of the day, of today's show, is all about. I can read from my notes here that says, as of May 2022, construction began with this facility, a state-of-the-art 40,000 square foot hard science high-tech business incubator. But here's what's even maybe more compelling. It is the first of its kind in the North Florida region. 30 plus wet and dry labs, tissue and bioculture room, the fabrication and prototype development spaces, 20-plus offices, multiple co-working spaces, and conference rooms. Wow. The facility is designed to support over 100 early-stage and growing tech companies in high-priority targeted industries. All right, that's where I stop, because at this point I need to introduce to you Bill Lookson. He is the director of this aforementioned North Florida Innovation Labs, and he is our guest today. How are you, Bill?
I'm good. It's great to be here. Thanks, Brian.
Good to have you, because now you're going to help all of us better understand what the heck all of this is about and its implications. Man, am I over-dramatizing this? Probably, but it feels like you're building a rocket ship and you're going to take us to some unknown yet planet somewhere in the solar system, and all of that hasn't even yet been mapped out. We're building the thing. We have some idea as to what the future holds, but that all sounds rather uncharted. Is that fair?
It's certainly uncharted in North Florida.
Okay.
And there are great analogs around the country. And when you think of fantastic innovation communities like the Research Triangle up in North Carolina, or the community, with our friends over at the University of Florida and Alachua, there are great analogs all over the place. And this particular facility is unique to our growing ecosystem because there are assets that are needed to unlock certain companies and scale certain companies. In fact, if you talk to the senior leadership at FSU and FAMU, we have lost massive business opportunities because there was not a facility like this. So patents and other intellectual property coming out of the university had to go elsewhere to start and scale their enterprises. And so this not only will be a fantastic economic development engine, but it will also prevent some of the brain and economic drain out of North Florida.
No kidding.
Companies can stay here now and grow here now. And both universities can license intellectual property, and those entrepreneurs can stay home.
Wow. And in staying home, then become further, let's say, compelling reasons why other folks are going to want to be a part of what they're doing or their own thing, right?
So
it's an attractive,
that's exactly
as well
right.
as developmental.
Yeah, where you see similar facilities around the amazing assets we have at Innovation Park, including the National Magnetics Laboratory,
right.
Fusion Lab, Wind Tunnels, High Performance Materials Institute, and the 300,000 square feet under construction now out there. Yeah, it tends to be a magnet that not only spins up startups and scales, high-tech companies, but other companies tend to follow.
Okay.
Aerospace companies, companies around that have a need for magnetics, which is almost everybody. Energy companies, MRI and medical companies. And so this is build it and they will come. But but the difference is it's validated in other parts of the country. It's, again, not a perfect analog, but we're taking pieces and parts from other successful ecosystems and trying to adapt similar models.
And the novelty of this here probably makes your job a little harder, just because they haven't yet seen this in action. You have, and those who are directly involved understand it. But if I'm one of those people looking in and you're wanting me to appreciate this, I'm saying, so what are you doing? You're going to build a rocket ship and go where? And it's at that juncture that, does that try your patience at certain points?
No.
Or you went in knowing this is the way it's going to play out for
us?
Yeah,
I appreciate that, you if you haven't seen it, you don't
it's
know what
to
it looks like.
It. Yeah.
That's exactly right. But once you see it, it's instantly intuitive. It's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
The other thing that that's significant about facilities like this is that they tend to attract a category of companies they call gazelle companies.
Hmm.
And these are companies that tend to grow really fast and tend to attract investment. So just as an example, and it will be a while before we perform at this level, I'm very involved with the Florida Business Incubator Association, and they had a recent competition based upon metrics, and our friends over at UF Innovate won the competition, and other ecosystems are fantastic. But this past year, the companies that they're incubating created over 600 jobs.
Wow.
And attracted over $19 million in outside investment. And that those dollars circulate in the economy.
Yeah.
They're the types of companies that are investable, and not every company is investable.
Mm-hmm.
All enterprises have value, but the hard tech companies are particularly investable because their market sizes can be extremely large.
So with its creation, then, not only is this a message to the rest of the world, it's reflexive. It's a message back to us to say, hey, Tallahassee, you're more than what you realize, or you have more potential than you're giving yourself credit for. Is that right?
Yeah. We have all of the raw materials. We have fantastic academics, 3 fantastic academic institutions.
Mm.
We have the only joint college of engineering led by an HBCU. And then the surrounding areas contribute in unique ways as well, in ag tech and aquaculture. Mm-hmm. And so I've described our ecosystem to those around the state and the country as we are an awkward adolescent, but we're growing quickly.
Oh, that's my favorite. And now she's having to not only question that, but throw off some of that just doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't work.
What I'm particularly excited about is the synergy that I see across the ecosystem. One of the hats that I wear is I chair a group called the Alliance of Entrepreneur Resource Organization, or ARO, and the website is bigbendarrow.com.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And this is the academic institutions, the FAMU SBDC, which is aligned with the SBA, Jim Rand Institute, Jim Rand College, us, Domi Station. It's anybody that can support entrepreneurs in either unique ways or ways that entrepreneurs, based upon what they need, can tap into. And through grant writing processes and collaborative programs, everybody is playing nice.
That's awesome.
And we've got a new VP of research. We got a new president at FSU, a new VP of research. And so the senior leadership across these academic institutions are collaborating in ways they've never done before.
That's remarkable. Good to know. He's the director of North Florida Innovation Labs. Bill Lickson is our guest. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule, with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
We're back. We're talking with Bill Lickson. In full disclosure, I have to tell you that Bill Lickson is one of my favoritest most people in the world. Okay, so there was my mom, and then after that, my immediate family, my wife and children and all that. But then somewhere in there comes Bill Lickson.
Indeed.
Now, all of that to say, folks, that this is the guy who was my mentor then. Man... you know, bringing me up out of the hayfield and saying, okay, you're going to need to wear a suit and tie from now on. Wasn't quite that bad. But I will say that in that next, I don't know, 2-3 years that we worked together, it was an opportunity to better understand so many different topics, including this idea of helping people develop their own skills and pursue their own path in life. And that's something that's core to you, to your personality, I think, to who you really are. And here you are after all those many years. I have heard you say this, that this North Florida Innovation Labs is obviously then, and particularly for you, is it fair to say, a mentoring environment, mentoring opportunity for you?
Absolutely. And you're kind to say the things you did about our experience at Comcast. It was a unique time. We learned a lot together. We grew together. And the expectation was to work as consultants to partners. And I think a lot of us still have that in our DNA. Or as Stephen Covey says, seek first to understand and then be understood. And
indeed,
I think in order to be a good mentor, you have to have good listening skills. You have to hear what the person's saying, what the company's needs are first before you provide your expertise, or more appropriately, help them arrive at the answers themselves.
Okay, so there's the segue to this Innovation Labs concept, because as an organization and as an individual, you're reaching out to this other person or group, right? And wanting to hear them talk about their vision, what they want to see achieved, what they want to pursue. So you're taking that in hand and saying, okay, once I better appreciate where they want to go, now I can talk about how we can help them?
That's
Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. Or connect them to resources. That's exactly right. It's so what we do is we provide unique facilities and programs. And Innovation Park is a governmental entity, and it does own the new lab and is building the new lab. And we've stood up a nonprofit to operate the facilities and programs.
Okay.
So that we can fundraise. We're beneficiaries of EDA grants for construction, and we
Makes
got
sense.
A programmatic grant. And our mission at the end of the day is economic development. What we want to do is bring technology entrepreneurs in, help them scale their companies and create high-wage jobs and move out of the lab and set up shops somewhere else in the city, county, or North Florida.
Right.
And really, that's what our mission is, to provide facility and resources at the lowest potential cost to technology entrepreneurs.
So they're not bearing all of the risk.
You're That's right.
helping them shoulder up that effort, giving them that liberty, right?
Right.
Showing what they can do, and then showing its application in the local market, we'll say.
That's right. And if they need lab space, providing lab space at lower than private market rates.
Okay.
And way lower than major market rates. You know, if you're in biotechnology in Boston, is the price of poker is quite different.
It's a bit different. And for those of us who have aspired to entrepreneurial pursuits, unless you've got a rich uncle, and that isn't a bad idea. It's just those uncles seem to be not as plentiful as we once thought they were. Here comes an organization that says, yeah, we're going to be your uncle. We're going to stand in, not only in a supportive way, let's say, in terms of that risk factor, but more in a collaborative and integrated way, connecting, you said connecting them to other people, other organizations, other resources.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And,
okay. And
there's sort of two models. One is where venture capitalists would create an incubator and take equity in the companies that they're incubating and may infuse that with strategic
capital. We call
that
a farm team, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Like Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and they're great examples of that.
Yep.
And then there are these types of organizations which are either nonprofits or they're connected directly to academic institutions. And that objective is more economic development focused or technology transfer. You know, the universities receive licensure rates for the patents that they license.
And,
and there's a return on investment in the
that our
state is making in our academic institutions as well.
If I step back just a moment here and I think about 150 years ago, right? Okay, that's a big step. But those days, you had more plantations in Leon County than any other county in the state. Fact. Census of 1860 tells us that. You had a slave labor force, but you had planters then who were cooperative, and they did everything in the best interest of their own operations, but they learned how to work together. The building of Plank Road comes to mind. How are they going to get their product to the coast to get it out, right? So it's taken us this much time to realize we have to divorce ourselves from that sort of limited single product idea, you know, and even out of an agrarian sort of approach to life. And we have to attract those who want to be part of that labor force at the same time that we decide we're not going to continue to fight each other, whether we're some part of government or private enterprise. I'm looking at your notes here, and you've got not only the Mag Lab, FSU High Performance Materials Institute, Florida Center for Advanced Power Systems, FAMU, FSU College of Engineering, Tallahassee International Airport. So, you know, if I'm sitting here listening to you, and I work for my buddy Jerry, who's got a brake shop down there on the south end of town, what difference does this make to me?
That's a great question. It starts with a $25 million construction project and the dollars that will circulate,
no doubt,
in the economy. And your brake shop entrepreneur may have an idea for an innovation that he can now develop in this lab, because there's a huge appetite for bio and chemistry and wet labs. We'll also have a prototyping space. So if you've got an idea for an invention in your garage, you can bring that to life in the lab as well.
And there will be some kind of vetting process, I suppose. I
mean, that's right.
Here's my idea.
Yeah.
Give that some daylight and see if there's any potential there. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. We need trade entrepreneurs as much as we need high tech entrepreneurs. And
yes,
great ideas come from everywhere.
And, yes, they do.
And so this will be a place to iterate those ideas.
You know,
there's a great boat builder down in Wakulla County. You know, there's stuff around ag tech. There's a lot
yet
of
to
folks
be discovered.
Yep.
Or uncovered. Yeah.
And there's a huge interest in industrial hemp as a building product. And as we look to
Indeed.
Diversify our agriculture across North Florida and replant some of the pine trees that got knocked down by the latest hurricane.
No kidding.
These can be up-and-coming kinds of
That's awesome.
Innovations that we can help with our partners to activate.
Talking with Bill Lixon, North Florida Innovation Labs. You stay with me. We've got more.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
We're back talking to Bill Lixon, talking about this very provocative idea, North Florida Innovation Labs, conveying that. That's probably the biggest challenge. You said earlier, well, yeah, but there's lots of other examples of this around the country, around the world.
Yeah, and to demystify it a little bit, there's more that attributes of business that are the same rather than those that are different.
I see.
You need a legal structure. You need accounting. Mm. You need marketing. You need to validate your market.
Okay.
You need to understand your competitors.
Okay.
You need to protect your creation, whether it's through patents or trade secrets or branding. So those things are common to all businesses.
Mm-hmm.
You need a team. You need to play to your strengths, mm-hmm. account for your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some companies need unique facilities.
And that's where we've got.
That's where the lab fits in.
30-plus wet and dry labs.
That's right. So wet labs would essentially be biology and chemistry labs, sinks and hoods and eyewash stations and those things.
Test tubes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yep. Yeah. And dry labs could be places to fabricate inventions. And this is a true story. One of entrepreneurs in the area got a recent grant from NASA, and he said, I need a space to store the submarine we're building. So I'm like, well, we don't have a current space for that. And really, it's an autonomous submarine that's designed, it's small, designed to go out during hurricanes and measure water at different depths to...
Water temperatures.
That's right. Ah. And those kinds of things during a hurricane for forecasting models. And so NASA put a grant out. This company won a grant. And so they're prototyping this device.
I go back to the Wright brothers analogy.
Exactly.
Here,
that's what brought the
story
to mind.
We're
going to
need a bigger
mind.
Barn.
Well, what they needed was fairly basic, meaning... Look, we need a flexible space, a shop. We need a loading dock and garage doors.
Yeah.
And, and so we'll have both the super high-tech areas, and then we'll have places to, we'll have a shop for folks to prototype.
Indeed, indeed. If we were to compare, let's say, with that 19th century model of business, the Stephen Coveys of the world would say, yeah, see, you can't work that way any longer. You have to embrace this collaborative, because we're all much further down the road than the Wright brothers or Henry Ford or whoever. You know, that worked then, but now it's about tapping into this Mississippi River of opportunity.
That's exactly right. There's never been a better time to start a company. You can do it online. And when I started my first company, probably you did as well, you had a lawyer involved, and they had to file paperwork.
He quit.
Okay.
But I'm glad that it worked for you.
Yeah. Well, and now with all of the collaboration tools, you can have partners and mentors all over the world.
Indeed.
In fact, had some philosophical discussions about what an entrepreneurial ecosystem looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And our academic partners are partnering with other academic institutions mm-hmm. across the country where they have certain affinity or expertise. And entrepreneurs, in fact, are doing the same thing. And so part of our role is to support entrepreneurs by providing access to what they need to be successful. And sometimes it may be a highly technical expertise that's not local.
Interesting.
And that impact, though, stays local.
Stays local. And this segues into this notion you were referring to earlier in our conversation about whatever idea I may have, pay attention to the signs, pay attention to the people around you. And, you know, in my life, having left that radio station, joining up with Comcast, then moving into the telephony business, telecommunications and such, all of that sort of came together then and provided me a platform of thought anyway, to begin a company called Alcom, and that has over the years afforded us the opportunity to expand and experiment, and you know, we kind of created our own lab in-house.
Sure.
Full of disappointments and victories all at the same time, and here we are sitting today, these many years later. It's been better than 30 years, you and I.
I wasn't going to do the math.
But you look great. I mean,
you look
I don't know what's
too,
happened.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I was going to say a little over a quarter century. I don't know which sounds better.
Well, what sounds great is that Bill Lixon is still part of us, still contributing to this community, and doing so in ways that are consistent with who you are and those that I will say, a kind of curiosity then that you bring to the table, because it encourages the rest of us in that same way to be curious. What if? What could we accomplish? What could we do? And that flies in the face of that status quo, or, well, we just don't do it that way, or whatever. And here we do have this adolescent community, we'll say, Tallahassee, this teenage girl, that's my favorite way of putting it, who says, wow, maybe I can learn to fly. Maybe I can build that next thing. I've always thought I should or could. And here comes North Florida Innovation Labs to say, well, talk to us about what you want to do.
Well said. I mean, Tallahassee is a fantastic place, and a lot of people want to live in Florida, and this is, I would argue, the best part of Florida. And this is not the missing piece of the puzzle, but a missing piece of the puzzle.
Indeed.
That allows us to diversify our economy that we
yes.
haven't been able to do
yes.
to date. And
yes.
that will add value in ways that we know and ways that we don't yet
haven't
know.
Even considered yet.
That's right. And it has the potential to have generational impact, which is what excites me. One quick soundbite, if you would. I attended an incredible event with the Tally Robotics Club and clubs from all around the world this past weekend.
Hmm.
And these kids are building robots and programming in high school. And so we're being very intentional about supporting them, and we're providing them access to an ancillary building at Innovation Park.
Wow.
So that they can build their robots.
Wow.
They're a nonprofit, and we're providing space to them. Some of it is altruistic and some of it is self-serving, because these kids will occupy the lab in 60 months and we'll all be working for them someday.
No doubt. Well, it's my pleasure to say that I can add to that my affirmation that I got to work for you and with the good folks there at Comcast those many years ago. Here we are, my friend. Here's to the next 10 years.
Amen.
And what may yet unveil itself for us all. Bill Lixon, our friend of this town, and helping to lead the way with North Florida Innovation Labs. You want to keep your eye on this thing. It is a remarkable contribution. Bill, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Brian. This was great.
A pleasure. It's what we do here every week for you folks. So there you have it, a conversation with Bill Lixon from earlier this year, and talking about the North Florida Innovation Labs at Innovation Park, a great opportunity for this community and for all of those involved. Stay with me, folks. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Welcome back to the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Wanting to remind you, if you would like to email us, topics@tallahasseetalks.com is the address. Would love to have you share with us your thoughts. If you have a suggested guest or topic, always interested in learning from you what you have in mind. And of course, we're available online all the time. If you go to tallahasseetalks.com, all of our shows are archived for you. And I think we've got about 10 years worth something like that. Been on the air now 12 years. This is our 12th season. Loving to love to bring you these folks like Bill Lixon, who I've known for golly, probably 30 years or better. Great choice for the North Florida Innovation Labs. They'll do a good job over there. And they have this remarkable facility, $17 million facility that'll open up here later this year. And with that, currently the North Florida Innovation Labs is housed at the Collins Building there in Innovation Park. But this facility will be a world-class opportunity. It'll have an incubator and, you know, business development sort of opportunities. And Bill talked at length about that in the first hour. If you've missed it, now that's why I mentioned the website. You can go back and pick up on that. But then in this facility, you'll see the combination of wet labs and dry labs, fabrication spaces, prototype development, and of course, co-working opportunities for technology-based businesses. A remarkable opportunity for this community, for the region, and certainly for any of those who will be directly involved in developing business and technology ideas. It is characteristic of our community that when we find individuals like Bill Lixon, it reminds us how fortunate we are, I think, in that in the face of what may otherwise seem rather daunting challenges for our community, you know, such things, I think it's significant and emphatic that we recall how much good we are bringing to our community and to the world, and how that comes by way of people, particularly people like Bill Lixon and many others, many of them who have been on the show over this number of years. Because in fact, if we lose sight of the prize, if we lose sight of the good that we have achieved, if we take our eyes off of the ultimate goals, how we go about making ourselves more available to others, whether it's through social services or technology advancements, business development. I mean, think about this. Think about this. This is a community that in its origin, 19th century slave-based agrarian economy, had to work through all of the remnants of that way of thinking, what I've dubbed plantation mentality, which is an insidious way of viewing the world, because it infects so much of what we expect to have happen. Plantation thinking is, in fact, reciprocal. Because if I believe that I am less and I believe you are more, and we both believe that, then we're both right. We both then abide with this idea that whatever is was meant to be. So why even try? Why try to go beyond the way we do things round here, so it is often said? It is, in fact, one of the most damaging or restrictive aspects of our history. And you look through, you know, decades of racial segregation, having pushed past all of that, having to confront the fact that the private sector then in the last 30, 40 years has struggled to emerge to be something more than simply a leftover for the fact that we are largely a company town. You know, state government, state university systems, where, you know, the vast majority of the population is working for government in some capacity. Well, this private sector has for itself begun to contribute more sizably. And with that, we see leadership among people who otherwise have gone unnoticed. We're finding leaders that find themselves in an opportunity or in a position to bring us all kinds of new ideas, fresh ideas. And with that, we find ourselves enjoying that benefit. We find ourselves clearly embracing the direction that we're going. People joining in, people coming to the table with additional ideas. And all of that happens because we're inspired by those who are in positions of leadership, mentorship. Some often will refer to those who are connectors and others who are mavens, and then those who are sort of the evangelists. You know, this is the Gladwellian trilogy or model that says if you are in one of those capacities as a maven who provides us a kind of a level of endorsement, I suppose, a reference, or if you're the person who says, you know, I'm the guy out here preaching the good news. I'm the woman who points in this direction and says, we can do this. Well, we have people in our community who serve in that capacity. They are the evangelists, right? And then there are those who are the connectors. Maybe you're one of those people that knows how to bring a group or an individual in touch with others who are like-minded, who are like-gifted, who find themselves looking for more opportunity. Pay attention to those people in your life who are the connectors and the mavens and the evangelists, because these are the folks that are going to help you move beyond your current level of performance. And with that, the greatest thing you can do is find inspiration among people who have already demonstrated their ability to achieve greatness. And that is one of the reasons why we have Sue Semerow with us here in this hour of the show. Recently inducted, will be inducted, I should say, named to the 2023 FSU Athletics Hall of Fame. And Sue Semerow, for her part, is the winningest basketball coach Florida State's ever had. Certainly not the last, we hope, but I think for her part, her appearance on the show over the years has revealed a bit of that magic. It has given us insight into how someone like Sue Semerow is able to inspire you and I. And maybe we're not even sports fans, but when you start listening to the person who in their own arena within this endeavor as Florida State women's basketball head coach took the program to a whole different way of thinking, not just a level of performance, but a different way of conceptualizing what it means to be a winning basketball team, to be a group of people who know how to work well together, athletes, coaches, administrators, everybody on that same page. Well, that kind of leadership is encouraging. It is inspiring. We can take lessons there and apply them, of course, in our own families, in our communities, our neighborhoods, those organizations and groups that you're a part of, whether it's a workplace opportunity or maybe it's just the people that you hang with. Find an opportunity to inspire, encourage, and give direction. That's what we're doing here.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back talking with Coach Sue Cimarro, Florida State women's basketball. A little bit about life's lessons. It sounds like suffering and adversity, as those things do happen to all of us, right? I mean, none of us are untouched. Can either make us or break us. Is that too glib? But I mean, I know it sounds like a Hallmark card, but yeah. But it seems to me in your description of it, there really is a kind of processing that goes on. And I'm curious as to, for this year particularly, is there a kind of unknowable quantity of inspiration that you just can't fake? Either have it or you don't? Or, I mean, as a coach, you talked about this. Man, I got some great players. They have great athletic ability. They're disciplined. And yet this other sort of unmeasurable spark comes along, and man, they are just clicking on all cylinders. How do you account for that?
Well, you know, again, I think if you look at everything as a blessing, not just when things go well, but when things are difficult, I think you have a more clear vision of what life really is. And there's a healthy tension that has to exist. You know, the same two fingers, the thumb and the index finger that pick up a contact lens, you know, are so just gently, are the same two fingers that can pick up a rock that can really hurt something.
And, or a gun.
Or a gun, exactly. And you've really got to manage that tension. And the tension can be a really healthy tension if the good things are dealt with in a certain way, but also the hard things are dealt with in a certain way. And you've got to have both. What life is.
It sounds like, too, that for you, the collective is really a source of that. You talked about your personal faith in God, but then you talk about how, as a team, there's that sort of collective resolve, and you help each other in the process of it all, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pulling together, we say.
Well, and I think transparency is so huge, because I think with transparency, trust is developed. And that's something that when you have trust, if you're a part of a group, whether it be a family, a team, a business, things tend to work much better, and I've seen a lot more success in that.
Yeah. Coaching has changed a lot. Would you agree? Collegiate athletics has changed dramatically.
Yes.
It's not just for the sport of it anymore, or the, let's say, the academic aspects of it. It's business, big business.
Yeah, it is big business. And I think, too, that there's a lot of entitlement that the athletes are feeling now that because of the big business, because in some instances, sport is making a lot of money. I mean, I just read today that the NCAA made over $1 billion this year. And so then the athletes look at that and say, well, I deserve a piece of that. And rather than it just being, wow, I get a scholarship to come and to play the sport I love, it's become more than that. And I think part of our job as coaches is to take them back down to what is pure about sport? Why are we doing this? What is pure about education? And this is really what it's all about.
And we've done that to ourselves, haven't we?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've lost the joy of just doing something for the sake of doing it.
And I think, too, you know, you look at the great American dream, and everything tends to be about making money. And I don't know that until you've made money and you realize there really isn't anything in money. It's the relationships that you build on the way. It's the experience you have. And that's unfortunate that, you know, through all the social media, through all the media period, you look and you see the best and the beautiful and the bright, and it's not what it's all cut out to be in real life.
That made me laugh when I got this story the other day. You probably saw that the National Association of golf caddies now are suing or have come at, come with a class action suit against the PGA because they want a piece of the action. They are historically have been asked to wear bibs during any golf match, and the bibs are, of course, embroidered with or imprinted with some sponsor's logo, and it represents a sizable amount of cash, and so they want their piece of the action.
Unbelievable.
There you go.
Yeah.
Who knew? The caddies. We just thought the caddies were just like Bill Murray, you know, people who were just kind of lovable, and it turns out they got needs. Well, so in the face of those kinds of pressures, let's say, and I mean, I guess that is a kind of pressure, isn't it, for a young athlete, because meanwhile, his or her family is saying, hey, you got to go. You got to, you know, it's your year. And so now off they go.
Well, or even, you know, you need to be the one with the ball in your hands the whole time, because you're building your brand right now. And if you want to go on and you want to play and you want to be sponsored,
star status,
you need to have that. And and it just isn't good for the sake of a team. And and we don't want those types of players on our team.
Are you abide with this idea that it's better to keep your eyes on that process? I mean, I'm saying in play on the court rather than looking at the scoreboard. Do you say, look, stay to the fundamentals, bounce the ball, pass the ball? That's where the game is played.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that our team does a great job of just focusing on getting better. You know, you can dream and think all you want, and don't believe me, we do that. We do that at the beginning of the year. We do that periodically throughout the year, but then we zoom right back down to what it will take to achieve those types of dreams.
And what does that require? I mean, when we talk about, again, today's college athlete, the academics, the outside pressure, the family pressure, the demands of the game fundamentally.
It's very intentional.
Man.
Their schedules are very intentional to achieve the type of success that they want to achieve, both on the court but also in the classroom and in life. And we get to help them manage that. And I think it's important too that, you know, they feel the support for getting an A as much as they feel the support for getting 12 rebounds. And I think even in going out in the community, I think of Lauren Coleman on our team, a fifth-year senior who's involved with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. She doesn't have a lot of time, but she makes that choice to enhance her own character and be a part of this community.
And you said earlier, it is always a matter of choosing. You know, how are you going to use the things that have been given to you for good or for harm? Is it often that you have players pull you aside and say, Coach, I really need to talk. I have that need in my life. Is that a big part of your role then with your team?
It is, and I share that with my assistant coaches as well. I think they know that we do care, and we want to hear the things in their life that are hard. We understand that all the pressures that they're getting in the classroom and through basketball are very difficult. So if we can help them bear the burdens that that come with just life, I think that's important. And they really don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And so we do try to stay available and walk through the difficulties.
How much is their family's involvement part of that whole process?
It's huge.
Stay real close?
Yeah. Very, very much so. You know, when we sign someone, we sign their whole family. And we make sure that I don't want to screw up what their family's done for 18 years, you know, in the four I have. I want to make sure that they're handing me a baton and saying, hey, okay, we trust you to keep running with this.
Right. Seems to me that that has become a hallmark, if I can say this, about Florida State athletics. I think that's a fair assessment. I think that that carries over into a number of the sports that are presented and represented, whether it's basketball or golf or certainly football. Bowden is legendary for his hands-on personal relationship is where it's all about. I don't think Jimbo's any further away from that. I think
he's tremendous with that. And I think, too, it plays into the culture of excellence that we have. I really don't believe that at this age, when young people who are from 18 to 22 that they are going to be professional. They don't want to be treated as a professional at this point. And they're making that transition from their home life into a professional world, and so they need a little bit of both.
You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We're talking with Coach Sue Sumaro. You stay with us. We got more right up ahead.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
We're talking with Sue Sumaro. My summation here would be the winningest Florida State women's basketball coach ever. Is that right?
I was here a long time.
You were?
I started when I was 12. Come on now.
And, you know, basketball, women's basketball particularly, in these days, has reached some notable heights, and professional basketball for women is now, I think, better recognized, like it should be, we would say. You follow the pros pretty closely?
I follow the way that they play, but I mainly follow the people that I love. And I think that's the way it is. I've got a couple players that are a part of the New York Liberty right now, and Natasha Howard and Ronika Hodges, who is an assistant coach there now, which is a lot of fun. So, you know,
so there's a personal connection for you there.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, my family is still a Seattle Storm fans because, you know, they live there. But, you know, when Natasha got traded to New York, I very quickly became a Liberty fan.
So they're looking at you like, man, you're such a traitor.
I know, right?
Carl, what do you think about that? I mean, Carl's a big Seattle fan. You know, he loves all of those guys.
And I love that too, but my Seahawks flag's flying, I tell you.
Okay, well, there's a redemptive comment.
Yeah, that's right.
He's back in Carl's graces now. How do you feel about the Mariners? Come on.
I feel like free, what's it called? What is the thing that they, wild card.
Wild
I feel
card.
Wild card is imminent.
Thing. But you got to go to Chicago for the playoffs.
Yeah. And that's one of the really nice things about being retired is now I can make time to do things that I really wouldn't have had time to do, or I would have made time and been just frantic trying to get in and out. And I was able to go up to Chicago. They played in the Liberty played Chicago in the, I believe it was the first round. And they, you know, just to be able to stay for two games.
Yeah.
It was, to be able to be with those, you know, young ladies, to be able to go up and visit Nikki Ikamu, who is a former player of mine, her parents in Chicago, just because, not because I wanted something from them, not because I was recruiting her, but because we've formed such a great relationship over the years has been just, it was a blast. And, you know, just being so proud of the young women that are doing what they're doing all over the country.
Yeah. The only other time I hear this spoken of is in business, where people work together for years with a certain organization. They go different directions or whatever, but they remain friends and at the very least colleagues and acquaintances. It happens, I think, when you talk about it now, because you have that liberty
Right.
You have that freedom. You have that opportunity. How is that different for you then? Is it life-changing, would you say? Or
oh, gosh,
is this
yes.
the second mountain that we're
yes,
now?
Yes, this is the climb of the second I mountain see. Right oh, now. Because, okay. And it's taken me a long time to see things a different way, to disassociate from the things that I used to have to do on a daily basis, the yeah. things that kept you running. You know, it keeps you thinking in the future. And so, for example, last weekend, I just drove up to Lake Blackshear with a friend and was able to just get a boat and go out and enjoy it. Well, as I'm driving back, I see a sign for Ashburn, Georgia.
Huh.
And one of my former players was from Ashburn. And in 2008, we all went through a tragic death of her. And Rinalda Pierce is her name. And I just love the way that her family handled that situation. She died of something called Marfan syndrome. And we've been in touch. They've been faithful to our program ever since. It was their last touch of Rinalda. Mm-hmm. And Jim Crosby here in town had dropped off a book that he wrote about her time at Florida State just the week prior. And he's been working on that book for years. Mm-hmm. And I had started reading it. It was in my car. So I picked up the phone and asked Linda Pierce. I said, "You guys just hanging around the house today?" And you bet we are. And you come on over. And so was able to go to her house that I recruited her in and spend time with the family. Her two aunts came over, her sister and her kids, and give Linda the book that Jim Crosby had written. Now, I have driven up South Georgia hundreds of times recruiting and seen that sign, knowing I did not have time to spend quality time with people that I love. And to be able to do that and just sit with them, they were getting ready to watch the WNBA game. They were so excited about it. They still have a wall in the living room with Rinalda's jersey and all of her Florida State
Golly.
Stuff. It is just blessed. It blessed me. And now I get to go and buy shoes, Florida State shoes, for Rinalda's sister's little boy instead of her brother. So it's just, it's too cool what I get to do now.
In that respect, when you talk with people, and I know you do often, who yearn for that kind of opportunity,
mm-hmm.
they yearn for that kind of spontaneity and freedom. What do you tell them?
Hurry up to retirement.
Find a way.
You know, I haven't been able to put my finger on that yet because I think I tried for 35 years to understand work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
I tried so hard. You know, just even talking to Melanie as she was leaving your studio, and knowing that there's so much to do. And I've learned that I want to live as a human being and not a human doing.
Mm.
And wow, is that hard? If you're driven and the society tells you, you know, you got to get to the top of the tower. You got to build your tower. You got to get to the top of that mountain.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I hate to say that this generation and COVID might be getting it right because they just, I think they're calling it the silent retirement, but it's not, but it's young people who are choosing work-life balance over money and power. And wow, what a great choice
to make. I see it evidenced in our family. You know, my wife and I have four adult offspring, all of them pursuing career options that are more about what they really want in life for themselves and for their partners, spouses. They find themselves, and I just talked with one of them yesterday. He's got a great job in the Atlanta area, but he's looking at other companies that would be more in line with his personal goals. Maybe that's because when you and I were kids, we were given that sort of moonshot approach. You've got to go from here to there, and failure is not an option. We're talking to Sue Semerow. You stay with me, folks.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
We're back talking with Sue Semerow. This notion of being goal-driven, goal-oriented, there's no room for any compromise or failure. Go, go, go. But that produces, in some respects, you could say that that strategy produces the wins, that produces the outcome. I mean, it's designed to do that.
Right.
And is that a bad thing, or is that a good thing, or is it not a good, bad, that's just not the way to look at it? Or
I think a lot of those things are necessary. You know, I think you can get sucked into that, and I know I did, and I'm very grateful to have some time, you know, to now slow down.
Well, let me underscore something you said there, because it's what we mentioned, I guess, in the first portion of our conversation, that people in leadership positions do have a choice. They can seek their own objectives and use the people around them to get there. And we certainly can see plenty of examples of coaches that have done that and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are people like Sue who come and say, yeah, I want to achieve this, but I want us to achieve it. And so I've got to make sure that I'm, even in my frantic, driven mentality, I'm connecting with people. I have a secure attachment with the people, which is why, if I may say, now you still have those same attachments all over the country.
Well, and I'll jump in, though, and say I'm not proud of the fact that my staff would call me Tsunami. I mean, I'd be coming in and, you know, let's, you know, do this. If I could go back after all I've learned now, I may be different. I may not, but I may be. And I do think that sports and isn't sports anymore. Isn't just sports anymore. Mm. Okay. It is now coming into the college and high school realm as a professional.
It's a money-making endeavor.
Yes, absolutely. And again, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but it's different.
Yeah.
And so.
And what do you want?
It needs to be reimagined in such a way that there's a lot of good in it. And we've had to reimagine a lot of things during the course of my career, and that was hard to push through. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, you know, how do we, and really a lot of it at the time was trying to make women's basketball relevant. You know, those, you got to reimagine things. And, you know, you have to see that invisible thing up there and try to develop it in order to see it be done. And I did my part. And now it's for a younger mind to reimagine this next piece, because it's complicated.
You think Brooke is that person who will look in your direction for that? Does she come back to you and say, hey, how would you deal with this? Or
no? Not yet. Because, and I don't want her to be yet, because she has got to establish
who she is.
Who she is. Yeah. And she's got to establish her program. It, you know, I think that there's so many people that try to be Bobby Knight
or Bobby Bowden.
Exactly. And you've got to take different pieces that fit your personality.
So in that regard, I did notice, and I've noticed that Coach Norvell, if there is a player down, he will be there. And that was striking to me.
I saw that too.
He's down on his knees. He's checking with that player.
That's right.
He's not a medical professional. He's the guy's coach, and he's letting him know, I'm here.
That's right. I care.
And why is that so important?
I mean, think about it.
Why does he do that?
I just think about being that player. I mean, I'm not just here to perform. I'm here as a part of a family. And if a family member goes down,
it's interesting. That's what Tate said in his post game.
Is that right?
He said, we're more of a family now.
Yeah. And
take note of that.
That's who Florida State is. Family. And I believe that's what college athletics is. And that's why this is hard to watch the monetary opportunities come in to taint that. Mm. Now, I'm not opposed to the monetary opportunities, especially when you see the outrageous salaries that football coaches are making. You know, so you're one of those athletes and you're just like, wow, I gotta eat peanut butter and jelly. And I mean, it all needs
to
be,
or if I accept a gift from anybody, I'm subject to NCAA scrutiny and
absolutely
possible expulsion. I mean,
whatever,
and the team being penalized,
and the school is making all this money to pay the coach based on the performance of these young people. Now, I don't think they should be employees. I don't. There's a lot of trouble with that, because now they're going to be looking at, you know, all the different things that you have to go through. Are they going to unionize? What do you do? So there's a lot of that. But it's cool to watch things balance out a little bit.
Would you say that is representative of a broader cultural shift? I mean, when you think about collegiate athletics, and even professional, it's been America's pastime. It's recreation. It's, this is not my job. I get to go watch this game. I get to hang out with. And now we've turned that again into something else that's not about the core of what that really amounts to. It's not about watching people achieve athletically. Mm. It's about what it does for some other third party. Right. Whether it's a sports network or a school, I mean.
Yeah, that's what media has done, and the money that is in the media. Mm. And, you know, I mean, watching Russell Wilson in a Denver Broncos uniform, I was so ready to boo with the crowd. And I love Russell Wilson, but I was right there with them. I was like, let's make it hard. And when we won, I was like, take that. But it was about the money that he left. It was about, it was not just money for him, but it was what he wanted. And again, he's a professional. And, but it's not about the team.
Not for the rest of us who sit over there on the sidelines going, but Russ,
Yeah, yeah.
We love you, man. Well, and we love you, Sue Semera, who very graciously made this happen for us this week because, you know, even though she's retired, she's still busy and she's spontaneous. You're like Waldo. We don't know where you may be. So we go out trying to hunt you down. Parts unknown, but one thing we can count on. You'll be staying connected.
Absolutely.
To the people who you love and the people who love you. And we're blessed to be among those.
Well, that's right. Yeah. And I love this place and I love you guys. And I appreciate all that you guys do for our community.
Yeah, well, that is our challenge and our pleasure. Folks, this is what we do here for you every week with people like Sue Semera, Melanie Mays. It happens because we're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat right here in Tallahassee, where you can hear all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. It's moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer and wizard. He is what keeps us between the lines, folks. And we'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me. Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Merry Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. Well, that's why we rely on Merry Maids right here at our studios, because, you know, I do need a little shine from time to time. And my friends at Merry Maids can make it happen with guaranteed satisfaction, screened and trained employees, bonded and insured performance, even a free consultation. Merry Maids can customize cleanings to fit most budgets and fit your busy schedule with cleanings on a weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, or an on-call basis. Merry Maids will deep clean your home on that first visit, something that you've probably been wanting to do, but you don't have to. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's clean. Right here in Tallahassee, call 386-2205 or find them online at merrymaids.com. That's 386-2205.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.